Well, one thing I wanted to mention to start out with was that if you have any questions, I would appreciate if you hold them to the end. I'm going to talk for probably about 30 minutes, and then there'll be plenty of time for questions or discussion or whatever. So, my name is Joanne Mancinelli, and this is my dog, Newton. I've had him for about, not quite a year and a half now. And I'll probably talk a little bit more about him a little later on. I want to start out by giving you some background. Way back from when I was about a year and a half old, my parents were living in California, and I had a sister who was 2 years older than I. And when she was 2 years old, she got rheumatoid arthritis. And it became, by the time I was a year and a half old, it was quite a burden on my mother. And so my grandmother came down and picked me up and took me back to Anacortes to live with her. And so I lived with her for a year and a half. And my grandmother was quite a religious person. And so she read from the Bible a lot, and I came to know the Lord in my own way when I was real young. I didn't really understand it or anything, but I heard a lot about it. And then when I was a year and, 6 months after I had gone to live with my grandmother, my parents came back with my sister. And she was crippled quite severely and was in a wheelchair or a walker all the time, or my mother had to carry her, lift her into chairs and stuff. So I was a little bit familiar with someone with a disability. I had no problems myself. I was a very healthy child at that point. And my mother was real supportive. My sister never had been to public school. My mother sent for a correspondence course and taught her school at home. So I got to kind of start school early ahead of time with her. Of course, I was eager to learn then, and I didn't want my sister to get the best of me. Anyway, when I was 9 years old, I started having a lot of headaches and started running into doors and things. So my mother took me to an optometrist and did a bunch of tests and discovered that there was some sort of problem. So they sent me to Seattle, and this was, I had a few tests ahead of time, and when I was, it was the summer after I finished the third grade, I went into the hospital for what they told me were some tests, and so I always thought I was just going in for tests, and the nurse would come in, and, well, what are you doing here? Are you here for an operation? I said, no, I'm just coming here for tests. Well, this thing I was aware of was after the operation, and my head was totally bandaged, and I couldn't see anything. So something happened during the operation that caused me to lose my vision. And I was in the hospital for a month and had radiation treatments every day for that month. And then after I was released, my mother and two sisters moved down to Seattle to live in an apartment with me, and my mom took me back and forth to the hospital every day for the treatment. Well, that was quite a shock to me, losing my vision. And at that time, in public schools, they didn't have handicapped students, so nobody really knew what to do with me. So for the first year after I returned from the hospital. My mother taught me school at home using my sister's books. And that was quite an experience because she would read to me and it would go in one ear and out the other. I couldn't remember anything. And I was coming to the conclusion that I had some sort of a mental problem. But actually, I was a very, very visual person before, that seeing it, I learned it, but not hearing it. So that took me that whole year to really change my ways of being able to listen to something and remember and understand anything that's been read. But the one thing that I did learn that year that about drove me crazy learning it was the multiplication tables. They're up through 12 times 12, and I knew them very well. That was a good test on my memory. Well, after that year, my mother found out about a school for the blind in Vancouver, Washington. So I was sent down to that school to basically to learn Braille and any other skills that might be beneficial. Well, I learned Braille pretty quickly as far as knowing what letters were which and what signs were which, but I was a very slow Braille reader. And I didn't ever find a lot of books for kids at that time that I liked to read. So what happened was I would use a lot of readers, listening to tapes and that type of thing. Some of the other things that I learned down there was how to get about without sight. And at that time, they didn't teach students to use canes. And of course, children didn't use dogs. So you just learned to get about on your own. Well, a good portion of the students had some vision, so they were able to kind of help out. But we went for walks and did all sorts of fun things. One day, my aunt and uncle lived in Portland, Oregon, and a friend and I went over to have dinner with them. And we went out for a walk, and we kept walking and walking. We couldn't find our way back. But when we finally found our way back to my aunt's house, we told them that we got lost. And they said, oh, well, we saw you keep going by the house several times, and we thought you knew what you were doing. Well, while I was down there, when I started getting into social studies and that type of thing, I had a Braille book that I was reading. Well, I was so slow at it that I wasn't remembering anything that I was reading. So that part of my education back then is kind of lacking. But I did fine in the math and sports that we had at that time, and home ec, it was no problem. But I was starting to get bored with it because the students there were mostly behind where I was after having been to public school, because most of them had started there. So after a year and a half, I got to go back to my home. And while I was down there, my older sister was taken to a special school in Burlington, where she was put back one grade. So when I went down the corridors, I was went into the school with her for one quarter, where I was pushed through the rest of sixth grade and then given in seventh. And she and I went into public school together in the same classroom so we could help each other. And after about a month, she got ill and was put in the hospital and she died. Well, I never really knew from what. And my father wanted me to then go back a grade, but after being pushed forward a grade, he wasn't about to put me back. So anyway, I continued on, and my mother was just super, super supportive, helping me, doing the reading for me, and helping out, studying for tests. The Braille that I learned while I was in Vancouver was helpful for taking notes, but not helpful for reading. Because one of the things that she taught me during that year that I was home was how to knit. And I discovered that I could knit and listen to talking books at the same time. And I felt like I was wasting my time if I was reading a book in Braille. Anyway, with the support of my mother and grandmother, and I don't know, I just really did a lot of praying during that time because it was scary to me. And I, my grandmother kept telling me that, well, maybe I would get my sight back. Well, I didn't really believe it, but I prayed about it anyway. I suppose that's why I never did, because I only didn't believe it. But I just really appreciate the support I got from them. Anyway, I made it through high school and graduated in from the high school in Anacortes. And also during that year, I started accordion lessons. I had played piano before. I lost my vision and continued that some. With my mother's help, she would read me music and tell me what chords to play, and then I would memorize it. So by the time we got done, I had memorized the whole song. While I was in Vancouver, I learned to read Braille music, so I was able to read my own music note by note and memorize it. So I used that both for the piano and accordion. Then I decided I was going to go to college, and that was another experience. I was told that they had books available that were taped. Well, that was great, except that lots of times I was, two, 3 weeks into the quarter before the book was sent to me. So again, my mother would fill in and read for me. But some of the readers that were on the books were just really, well, not the best of readers. Some of them didn't know how to pronounce some of the words, and some of the readers were so slow. At that time, the tape recorder I had didn't have some way of speeding them up like it does nowadays. So I made it through that year, and I did fairly well, but I was getting a little bit tired of it. And there was this boy that I had gone with when I was in Vancouver at that young age, and I sent him a card when I graduated from high school, and so he came up for my graduation, and during that next year we wrote back and forth and finally ended up getting married. So I had two children. The first was a boy, Christopher, and then my daughter, Lisa. And that was another challenge, taking care of them, but it really wasn't that difficult. Not as difficult as it might sound, you know, taking care of babies. And I did it all myself. I didn't have someone coming in and helping out. But being able to, you know, change diapers and give them baths and feed them and everything. There's all sorts of adaptive ways that one can come up. That's true, maybe I made a little bit of a mess feeding them, but then they got the food down and they grew fine. My son is 6'2" and my daughter is 5'10", so. Anyway, they didn't do too badly. Well, we were living in Seattle at the time. My husband was also visually impaired and worked at the Lighthouse for the Blind. So we were living in the Rainier Beach area. which at that time was pretty good, but it was starting to get a little bit worse. And she decided to change jobs, and he was going back and forth to Tacoma every week because he was being trained in a new job down in Tacoma. And one day he came home and told me he was filing for divorce.
Whoa.
Well, again, that just about crushed me. And so I had to really rely upon the Lord for guidance of what to do and for comfort. And finally, it was decided, I decided I was going to go back to school since I had only gone for the 1 year. But in order to do that, I wanted to learn what's called grade 3 Braille. And that is a lot of signs, almost all signs. And then I wanted some mobility since I had never learned to use the cane. So I went to the Department of Services for the Blind for about 9 months, where I learned these skills and learned a few other things while I was at it too. After that, I started looking into where I was going to go to school, and if I had gone from the Rainier Beach area to the University of Washington or some other place, it was going to take me probably at least 2 hours travel back and forth every day, and I didn't feel that I had the time to do that and still take care of my kids. So I decided to move to Bellingham to go to Western, which was closer to my parents, and I could get back and forth to the college a lot quicker. So that's what brought me to Bellingham. And when my son was about 15 years old, he decided to go live with his dad. And so just my daughter and I were here together. And she did a lot of reading for me, and because became an excellent reader, because of course I wanted things read fast, and so she got so she could read very fast to me. Nowadays they have tape recorders, you can turn up the speed, and I got so, when I had things recorded, I was always turning up the speed, and it just drove me nuts to listen to something, you know, on TV or radio that was at a slow speed. Anyway, after I graduated from Western, my daughter decided she wanted to go live with her dad. And so that left me alone, and I decided to continue taking some classes up at Western. So for 1 year, I still kept taking classes that I always, you know, wanted to take. And towards the end of that year, I had someone from the Department of Services for the Blind ask me if I would be interested in some research on providing service to people over 55 up in this area. Well, I decided that sounded kind of interesting, so I found a few other people who were interested in getting involved, and we spent the next, I guess it was probably about 9 months going out and talking with people who were losing their vision in the Whatcom, Skagit, San Juan, and Island counties. Well, from there, the department decided that that there were enough people that they were going to start providing the service to them, and asked me if I would be interested in doing it. So I decided that, yeah, that sounded like a good idea. So a couple other people and I got involved in going out and seeing them, and we were getting paid from the department a minimum amount for doing this. And I really enjoyed it. I liked going out and seeing these people and helping them out. This one lady said she was 72, I think, and she just couldn't do anything, you know. Her life was over. And I got talking with her about different things, and I happened to have my knitting there. And I was showing her my knitting, and she said, "You do that?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "Oh, I love to knit." And so from there, she got interested in it, and I showed her how to knit, and she learned how to do all sorts of things. So people like that just made it, really made it worthwhile. I loved doing it. But then I started having hearing problems, and it was getting more difficult for me to understand what they were saying. And about that time was when the department, well, they were cutting back the amount of money that they were paying, and I was having enough people to go see that I had to hire somebody else to help out. And so I worked a whole year without pay myself. Now I decided finally, without being able to hear any better than I could and not getting any pay, that it was time to stop going out and seeing them. So I decided to keep my office. Oh, I had started an agency called the Vision and Independent Living Agency. And I decided to keep it still open. And I have certain special items for visually impaired, slates and styluses and braille paper and watches and different things available that people can come and buy. But I am not going out and seeing people. I have a phone available that people can call me for information, and I can help them out if I send them to another agency or whatever. And occasionally they'll come in and talk, so I feel like it's worth keeping open. As my hearing was getting worse, I was having more and more problems understanding people, and so I finally got a hearing aid. And that helped for a while, but then all of a sudden I'm finding I still can't understand. And so I have a listening device, which I was going to explain to start out with, but a listening device which I'm using that I could talk with somebody. It's two parts, one part that the other person has a little box with a microphone that they talk into the microphone, and it's an FM system, and the waves go to a box that I wear, and I have a loop that goes up around my neck, and it sends the waves to my hearing aid. So basically, I cannot understand much of anything that anybody else is saying except for the person who is wearing the device, which Bruce is wearing now. And so when we get to the point of you asking questions, you'll have to ask the question and he'll have to relay it to me. Kind of a slow process, but believe me, it's better than nothing. Without my hearing aid on now, I am almost totally deaf. I just am so thankful for what I can still hear, and thank the Lord that I'm not totally deaf yet. About a year ago, I lost what little bit of light perception I have, so I don't have any light perception now. Before, I could tell whether lights were off or on, and I could tell some colors. I couldn't see objects, but it was helpful, whatever it was. Anyway, let's see. About a year and a half ago, I was taking some mobility training from someone in Seattle, and he said to me one day, he says, you know, he says, I have never said this to a deaf person before, but he said, I'm going to say it to you. He says, I think you need to get guide dog. Well, actually, he worked with deafblind people. And so he checked into where I could go to get one and came up with this place in New York that had special training for dogs that worked with people that had more disabilities other than just blindness. So that was how I got to go back to get Newton. And it's been a real challenge. It's a little different working with a dog when you have no vision and very poor hearing than most people who get dogs have a little bit of vision. And it really doesn't take an awful lot of vision to make it easier. I know because I used to be able to see the difference between the grass and the sidewalk. So anyway, I spent about 3 weeks back in New York being trained with Newton. And then my trainer came out the day after I came home and worked with me in my neighborhood for a couple of days, just familiarizing me with my neighborhood and getting on the bus and going to town and that type of thing, which was extremely helpful. So after that, we were on our own, and well, we've had some problems. I can't say that it was all been glorious, but he's a good dog, and things are getting better. I was here a year ago with Newton, and I really noticed a big difference in the way that he's helping me out here this year versus last year. Last year, I couldn't take him out on my own. I mean, I couldn't just hold the harness and go for a walk with him. He'd take me all over the place. But he's much better this year. So let's see. I have a few things that I thought that I would like to show you. Normally, I like to take a few things with me, and I thought, well, coming this distance, I didn't want to carry too much. First of all, I don't know if any of you are familiar with the magazine Guidepost. This is a Braille version of Guidepost. It's a fairly small book, smaller than a Reader's Digest, and takes up a lot more space. I have a Braille student dictionary, which is 32 volumes that are this big and about 3 to 4 inches thick. It takes up a whole bookcase. And this is a slate and stylus, which is a way of writing Braille, and then for writing Braille. Anyway, I have to punch from right to left in order to be able to turn over the paper and and read from left to right. So I have to write backwards. I'll write something here. And it's just dot by dot. Instead of, I can't do the whole letter at once like you can with a pen. It takes several dots to make a letter. So anyway, for instance, N has 4 dots in it. So I have to punch out each dot, and then you can open it up and read the N. There's a lot of quicker ways of writing Braille. There's a Braille writer, which is kind of like a typewriter, but it only has 6 keys, and you press whatever keys you need. And then there's computer Braille. And
shall I pass these around?
Sure.
All sorts of things like that. They get much, much quicker. I can put something on the in Braille and run it off in a printer. I bought a sample of the knitting that I had started when, like I said, I started to knit when I was home from school that year when I was 9. And this is the vest that I'm just sewing together now. Tell her it's beautiful. It has a needle in it, so beware or it's pins.
Not quite done.
And this.
Thank you. This is my cane. And when I first started mobility, I started learning to use a cane, well, just before I moved to Bellingham, when I was going to the Department of Services for the Blind. Up until then, I had just gone sight guide, and I thought I would spend just a little bit of time and demonstrate here. I'll put it under the... No, it didn't go under, did it?
Yeah.
Did it? Okay. When I'm using the cane goes in front of me.
Let me get you out here in the center a little bit.
Okay. And
there we go.
Okay. Anyway.
That's good.
There we go. Let's
put it. When I put the cane to the left, my right foot goes forward. And then I put the cane to the right and my left foot goes forward. And that way the cane is arcing back and forth to find any objects that might be in front of me, curbs going down or posts or whatever. And so that's the basic skill for using the cane. And when I'm going upstairs, I would put it like this and then or downstairs, and it would feel the cane, would feel the step going up or going down. And this is a folding cane. Not all of them fold, but it's nice because you can fold it up and stick it in a bag or whatever and get it out of the way. Here, papers. Now I'm going to do just a little bit of demonstration of sighted guide, which would be just walking with a sighted person. And for instance, if you might sometimes encounter a blind person and want to give them some assistance, they know a little bit better about how to do so. So, are you going to come?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm here.
Okay. What I do is I hold on to his elbow. And the reason I do that is he's walking in front of me so that I can feel it. If he steps up or down, I'm going to know it. Whereas if he, a lot of people, you know, their instinct is to come up and want to grab a hold of my elbow and push me. And that way I'm not going to know whether I'm going to fall down some stairs or whatever. So that's the proper way to assist a person.
Walking in your arm.
Mm-hmm. Pardon?
I should offer my arm to somebody, but I should not push, is the basic idea.
Or even grab a hold of my arm. Anyway, that's those two. And then my most recent, for years I used the cane. All the time I was going to school at Western, I used the cane until I started losing my hearing and when they suggested I get a dog. And I guess I shouldn't disturb him.
Oh, he's all right.
Huh?
He's all right.
He's sleeping.
He's awake.
Okay, well, you want to...
You want him?
Do him, yeah. Bring him down.
He's on the wrong side, but...
Okay, he walks always on my left. And I hold the leash... under two fingers, and I hold that. And so he's walking up front of me, and I can feel he stops for stairs or curbs, and I can feel what he's doing. I can tell when he's looking off to the left, to the right, or whatever. I can just feel when he's doing that. And so I have to make corrections if he starts. He likes to, if it's just standing here, he gets lazy and just wants to lay down. I have a certain obedience things I do with him every day. I teach him to, okay, Newton, sit. Go, sit. Sit. Good boy. Down. Good boy. Newton, sit. Sit. He says, I don't want to sit. Okay, Newton. Anyway, I really enjoy being able to get out because I feel safe in getting out and crossing a few streets now with him, but my hearing loss is, I'm totally deaf in one ear, so I can't tell directions of anything where traffic's coming from. So he makes it much easier for me to get out and get some exercise. I think I'm going to open it up now for questions, comments, or whatever.
Questions? Darlene?
What was your major at Western?
What was your major at Western Washington University?
Special education. I went into special education because I felt, well, if I decided I wanted to teach, then I had it. And if I decided that I wanted to work with adults, the information that I got in special education was going to be very appropriate.
How does she learn to sketch different patterns? Someone has to obviously read them to her or something.
How do you learn to knit the different patterns? Does somebody read you the pattern?
Yeah, somebody reads it to me and I do one of two things. Sometimes I can just memorize it if it's a simple one. Other times I have them tape it and I'll learn it, memorize it from the tape, and sometimes I braille it. Especially if it's a one that has a lot of different rows and things, I'll put it into braille, and then I can just carry it with me.
Other questions?
I've heard about this.
Please tell her a sweater is beautiful.
Yeah.
We're supposed to say that your sweater is beautiful.
Oh, well, thank you.
If you had one thing to say to people with sight to help people who are blind, what would that be?
What one thing would you say to sighted people to help people that are blind?
You mean if you should meet them on the street or?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Or yeah.
Well, if you meet someone and you don't know if they want some assistance, you can ask them if they would like some assistance. Don't just say, oh, let me help you and start helping them someplace. I laugh because one day I was standing in downtown Bellingham waiting to cross the street, and some guy came up to me and said, oh, let me help you cross the street. Well, in the first place, I didn't even want to cross that street. Secondly, he did not let me take his arm. He grabbed a hold of my cane and pulled me across the street.
I think I'll just interrupt there, if I may, and say that one thing that I know is very often appreciated by blind people is the offer of transportation. Remember that when you go shopping, it probably isn't too difficult unless you're without a car. Then you may have one of these little carts that you drag behind you to put your shopping bags in. But when you're blind, I think it's somewhat of a challenge to get shopping. So that's something that most of you probably could do, is just ask a blind person you know whether they need any help with shopping.
Mm-hmm. my church has been very helpful there. They have got a group of people together that will take me shopping, and they have, well, let's see, one person takes me shopping every other week or once a month, and because just one person takes me that time, they have enough people so that maybe a dozen different people take me shopping, so they don't have to take me that much. So it's not like one person taking me all the time. It can get kind of tiring, and also trying to get your schedules together. So it works really well with a variety of people.
What church does she go to?
What church do you go to?
Bellingham Covenant Church.
Is that Lutheran?
No, Covenant is another denomination. It, many years ago it had a connection, but it's definitely an evangelical church.
Right.
And cooking, is she able to do cooking?
Are you able to do cooking?
Oh, yes, I do cooking. And I, well, now that I'm by myself, I'm getting lazy with cooking. But I really like to cook. That's one of the things that when I was home with, my mom was teaching me that one year, she let me get in the kitchen and start doing some cooking. And my older sister also would cook, and the two of us would get into some nice little messes. But I cook all sorts of different kinds of things. I cook baked bread and cookies and cakes, and basically, I don't have anything special except for my Braille recipes. I like to use the measuring cups, you know, that are all different sizes versus one that has the marks on it. But it doesn't really take anything too special. I have marks on the stove for every 50 degrees so I can get the temperature set at the right place. And I have, oh, well, this little thing that I'm wearing is like a timer. And so I can punch it for 1 minute. And you may have heard it go off a while ago. Anyway, it makes a sound and vibrates so that it lets me know when the time is up. I also have some other timers that are Braille, so I can set them right. And then they ding, but that's getting harder for me to hear. So I like this one.
Why don't you comment on your watches?
Oh, this one is a talking watch. And I also have, not with me, but I have a Braille watch, which has the face of it opens up, and then it has dots on it. The 12 has three dots, and the 3, 6, and 9 have two dots, and the rest of them have one dot. So you can feel what time it is. And actually, I kind of like having a Braille one, especially if I'm someplace in a meeting or in church or something.
Another question back?
Yeah, I wonder what dreams are like.
Okay, this young man is asking what dreams are like. I don't know if you were here earlier when she said that she had her vision until she was 9 years old, so she has some memories of visual things. But maybe you still want to comment on your dreams?
Right, well, a lot of dreams, yes, I do have pictures and things. Some dreams I have, I seem to have much of a picture that goes with it. I don't know what makes the difference. I have dreams sometimes that make me laugh. And I had this one dream one night that I was in a car with my parents, and we were driving along, and this was a picture. I mean, I visualized that I could see the picture of it. It was funny. Anyway, every time we go over a bump, everybody's eyeballs would fly out. And I would picture them all, you know, they were all up on the ceiling roll, you know, falling over.